Welcome to the new Spring 2021 series of the Colorado BQA Chat podcast. My name is Libby Bigler, and I'm the Colorado Beef Quality Assurance State Coordinator, and I'll also be your host for today's podcast episode. I hope you've had an opportunity to listen to our fall series of the podcast, where we brought you insight on topics like cattle handling with Dr. Temple Grandin, using BQA as a marketing tool with CSU's Dr. Jason Ahola, and disaster management in the cattle industry with LSU's Dr. Christine Navarre. We're excited to use this platform as a way to help listeners further engage with the BQA program, and we hope this podcast will help you apply BQA on your operation. We're excited to bring you a new series this spring, highlighting Colorado's national BQA award winners and nominees, while providing you unique perspectives from those in the beef industry who are applying beef quality assurance practices on their operations every day. The Colorado BQA Chat podcast is brought to you by Colorado's Beef Quality Assurance Program, and is funded by the Colorado Beef Council and Colorado State University's Department of Animal Sciences. As always, if you're interested in becoming BQA or BQA Transportation Certified, please give me a call at 970-491-BEEF or log on to bqa.org. Today we have on the podcast with us Mary Kraft from Kraft Family Dairies. Kraft Family Dairies was the winner of the 2018 National BQA Award, and we're excited to be able to chat with Mary. So thank you for joining us today, Mary.
Well, good morning. I'm happy to be here too.
So I just want to get rolling and have you provide us with just a little bit of your background on yourself and your family and your dairy operation, and maybe a little bit of how you focus on the beef side of your business as well.
So I'm a fourth generation dairy farmer. We right now live in Fort Morgan, Colorado, but the original dairy is down by Brighton. My family homesteaded there right at the turn of the century, so 1906. And so we've been kind of working through many different parts of agriculture. So I'm developing ditch systems and developing a line of cattle and working through all of the different parts of playing into the food chain. When you ask me about how all of this plays into the beef portion of it, obviously we make milk. We also make poo, which we use as nutrient to feed our corn that comes back into the dairy. And then the other thing that we make is beef. And so the U.S. It has about 20% of the beef. It comes from the dairy side of it, whether it's cows that have performed their duty as dairy cows, or whether it's in the form of bull calf animals that go through into the feedlot and either get fed out or work through that system. So the beef portion is a large part of it. And in all of the parts, we're looking for what's the quality of what we're doing and how are we managing stockmanship? How are we managing the stewardship of the land, the animals, the people? So there's many different facets that we kind of work through. Beef is one of them. Dairy is one of them. People are another one.
So Mary, I know you've served in a lot of leadership roles within the industry. So I'd like for you to tell our listeners just a little bit about those roles that you've served. And then why do you think it's important to serve your industry, whether it's in these leadership positions or just as a peer that can provide insight to others?
So I was proud and honored to serve as president of Colorado Livestock Association. Colorado Livestock Association is a multi-species organization, very grassroots, and our job is to make sure that whatever legislative or regulatory things sort of come down the pike, that we don't sort of throw one of the species under the bus and say, sure, take that guy and leave the rest of us alone. So we all banded together and said, you know, it's really in our best interest. We have enough wherewithal if we're all together. Any one of us individually is a good prey for animal activists, for the environmental regulations. In Colorado, we've had issues with the hog confinement operations, and we sort of, and this is one of the catalysts for us going forward, is that we all kind of stood back and said, well, you're only after the pigs, that's okay, but the problem is if they get the pigs, then pretty soon they're after the confined operations of a dairy, and so then it falls into a feedlot, and all of those things, it becomes this horrible rolling stone. So we decided to make sure that we had a big enough voice, and so I was proud both as a dairy farmer to be in the organization, but also as a woman. I believe that one of the saddest things is in many operations, there are two powerful people pulling the wagon together. And together it's one of the things in agriculture that we're so proud of, is that we have women that work right alongside of the men. And we all have different things that we bring to the table. And together, if we have all of us at the table, we can do something massive. If we only have one representative from a family, I think you really sort of stifle some of the input and some of the action that can happen if we all get together and just work forward. Other things that I've done, and I'm very excited about this one, I've been on the Colorado State University's new prong that they're sort of working on. They're working on a program that overarches between multiple species and across multiple disciplines within the colleges themselves. And so this umbrella person is bringing to bear many different people from many different parts of the university system, so that when we're talking about methane gas, when we're talking about nitrogen or nutrients that we're putting into the soil, or when we're talking about animal husbandry, when we're talking about economics, we can talk about all of those in one giant batch and not single out a little tiny thread, which oftentimes is how our attackers work on us, is they're after one little aspect. And I think what Colorado State University is going to be doing is pulling it together where we have solid research behind some of the sustainability efforts that we have, carbon sequestration, whether we're dealing with animal management, animal welfare. They're going to be sort of the people who are, I hope, the authorities in how we're going forward on this, with science backed behind us. And so it's a really neat new initiative that Colorado State is putting together, and it will bring to bear some unprecedented scientists and some knowledge base that heretofore has been splintered and not all together in one place. So I'm excited about that. I'm on their steering committee for setting that up, along with many other producers and industry professionals that are really interested in making sure that agriculture gets a fair shake, and that we're telling agriculture's story. So I think that's a pretty exciting one coming through there. And then the third one that I play with a lot, and I'm also very proud of this one, is Dairy Max. And so Dairy Max is our marketing arm that we have for the dairy industry. And we market everything from the border with Canada all the way to the border with Texas, so down to Mexico. And so we've got quite a large population that we're able to market to, and in the best interests of dairy and dairy nutrition. So I believe that the reason that I'm in all of these things is nothing goes forward in our world if we're not willing to contribute. So if you're not willing to put your money where your mouth is and show up and put up, nothing new will happen. Nothing better will come of things if you didn't bother to lend your shoulder and lend your voice.
I absolutely agree with you, Mary. And a couple of the organizations that you mentioned really support the Beef Quality Assurance Program in Colorado. So Colorado Livestock Association is a huge supporter of Beef Quality Assurance. And then in partnership with CSU, as you mentioned, and the Colorado Cattlemen's Association, those organizations really move BQA forward within our state. So glad to have you serving in roles in some of those organizations and really helping kind of push the dial forwards for BQA as well as the other positions that you lead within the dairy industry. So kind of with that background, and considering our listeners are probably mostly beef producers, I kind of want to make them a little bit more aware of what we call the BQA equivalent to the beef industry and the dairy side of things, which is the FARM program, the National Dairy Farmers Assuring Responsible Management Program. In BQA, we really focus more on kind of the education of producers. So my job is to go out and train cattle producers on these best management practices that are going to influence beef quality. On the flip side of things, what you all in the dairy industry participate in is the FARM program, and it seems to be kind of the reverse of what we do, where you guys start with the verification piece. And so I was hoping you might be able to tell us a little bit more about how Kraft Family Dairies participates in the FARM program and how that program really helps set you up to win this national BQA award.
The FARM program is an exceptional program in that its ultimate job, it thought, was to be able to help us market our products. So when you go to a Walmart or whatever, I would like to only have to have one person come and do an inspection on my place, but because dairy products get sold everywhere, I would have Chick-fil-A, well, Chick-fil-A would put their cheese on there. Chick-fil-A would come and Chipotle would come and a Qdoba would come. And pretty soon you have everybody here and all of them have a slightly different clipboard and group of things that they think is important, imperative, and deal breakers or deal makers, right? And so the concept of the farm program was to have one uniform stop where we made it of such quality that when you said to any of those purveyors of restaurant food or marketing people, they would look at it and then go, oh, okay, well, you know, if you'll verify that, we don't feel like we need to come and invade these people all the time. And frankly, as with all the beef producers, we have plenty of other things to do besides show people around and let them peer in our books and make comments on what they think I should or should not be doing. And so the farm program really was an opportunity to sort of coalesce all of that together, make a one-stop shop. So whoever was coming shopping, they got the right stuff. What really happened is that, but also it made all the producers almost have a protocol manual for what would be the best practices. So especially if you had new beginning farmers, they had kind of a manual of how to do things. And it helped us be aware of some things we could really do a lot better. And so it created a dialogue between us and our field service. It created a dialogue between us and other dairy farmers to share information and go, well, you know, I don't know what this section three about maternity barns looks like. This makes no sense to me. And you go talk to somebody else and they're saying, yeah, when they came out and they helped me kind of work through it, here are three things that we changed. And it frankly made quite a lot of difference in the health of my cows because they got up better. They got to feed faster. And we had fewer calving difficulties, little things like that. So not only did it help us market our product, but it also helped us, I believe, do a much better, more uniform job across the board at what we're doing. And what I like about the farm program too is it's got areas where it allows you to be in the dry Midwest. It allows you to be in the wet Florida area. And so there's multiple protocols depending upon your location. So it's not one size fits all, but it's about the animal husbandry. Is the animal clean and dry? We don't care how you kept it clean and, well, we sort of care how you got it clean and dry. But if you have free stalls or you don't have free stalls or you have a loafing shed or you don't have a loafing shed is not important. It's the quality of the care that you're giving there. And there are some people who are helping you be held accountable. One of the things that's lovely for the dairy industry is that we can look at the quality of our milk because it's being picked up every day. So we can see if we have a bacteria-filled place, it sort of shows up in the milk. A little harder when you're raising beef, but the intention is the same, is to make sure that however you're doing it, you're getting some sort of a feedback on how your beef is getting to market or how our milk is getting to market and making sure that we're doing the best possible job by stewardship of the planet, of the cow, and the people and resources that we have at our disposal.
I think the farm program gives the beef industry some things that we can learn, especially when you bring up the point of helping create some consistency in terms of best management practices or standard operating procedures across dairies across the country. That's one of the goals that the beef industry has in their long-range plan when it comes to beef quality assurance, is really trying to generate some consistency in the program, the people that participate in the program, and what those best management practices are. And so I think there's some learning that we could do from the farm program and taking that approach of including a little bit more verification of beef quality assurance as the farm program does. So I think that's really neat that you bring up that point, that not only does it allow you guys to market under kind of a consistent program, but also helps kind of bring people together, farms together, and generate that consistency across the board. So I guess rolling into my next question that I have for you, you talked a lot about being able to meet with your peers, make sure that you're on the same page in terms of protocols in the farm program, but ultimately your operation won that national award in 2018. And so I'm curious, what do you think are some things that you guys do specifically at Kraft Family Dairies that might set you apart, that put you in that next tier to help you win that award? And are there any practices that you focus on specifically that you think helped garner that award?
Oh, absolutely. And the biggest one is going and being in a peer group. So, and you spend money to go there, you're off of the your personal real estate for some period of time. But sharing information with other guys, and certainly from being in the Colorado Livestock Association, there is a group, a beef group that's there. And I think within that group, there's a little more of playing your poker hand close to your chest and not really chatting up too many other people about what your particular protocols or business endeavors are, or strategies, whatever. And one of the things that's been beautiful in the dairy industry is that we spend a lot of time on each other's places and sort of picking each other's brains. So we use each other as a think tank, and everybody contributes, right? So you can't go to the trough and expect answers if you're not willing to put the answers back out there too. So those peer groups have helped us so much. So I'll take our dairy, for example. When we built our dairy, Quail Ridge, in 2007, we had spent 2 years on the road going around to other people's dairies, and they were so wonderful and so candid. And we'd pull in and we'd say, you know, well, gee, this one kind of smells a little bit. And the guys would go, well, here are the three things that we think we wouldn't ever do again, but here we've got this system and this is how we're trying to mitigate whatever we've got going on. We pulled onto one dairy and there was a cow with a hole on right at her flank. They had made a fistula in the cow so that they could get into the stomach. And we were completely baffled by that. And they're actually able to siphon off some of the rumen juices from this donor cow and then siphon them back into a cow that's infirm. Because a lot of times if cows go off feed, they quit making the rumen bugs that digest everything. And so if you don't put that probiotic back in there and its natural state, the cow has really struggles and she can starve to death before she gets a bacteria population. And they were so open about that. And I'm telling you, there are so many cows on my dairy that are thrilled to death that we had a fistula cow, that we could do that, because when they have twins and some of these other things, they go off feed, and that window into that cow's tummy has been super helpful. We've done it in our maternity ward. We've got, for warming our colostrum, we've got a little bottle shaker that blends the colostrum, so we warm it evenly, because you can kill colostrum if any of you guys have your newborns, and you're feeding like a frozen colostrum. If you put it in a hot bucket of water, you cook the outside and the inside core is still cold. Of course, you shake it up and your milk's the right temperature, but you didn't do anything, because the colostrum has to be activated. So it has to be the right temperature. And if it's too hot, you kill the bugs. If it's too cold, it's not activated. So you put liquid in the calf's stomach, but you didn't do anything. And we were at somebody else's dairy and they had this little bottle warmer. We were at another dairy and they had a colostrum pasteurizer. So it's a tiny little tank. So just being on a whole bunch of these other dairies, we saw all sorts of things and it was helpful. We've invited everybody to come back to our place as well, but we go and we see somebody else's and do something with it. I call it R&D. Most people would call that research and development. I don't. I call it rob and duplicate. And I try and make that super clear when I'm talking to the other dairy farmers, you know, please come and rob and duplicate from my place. If I've got something that could make you money or make a cow's life better, I should not be keeping that under my bushel basket. I should be letting that out, making sure that cow, your cow or my cow, gets the benefit of that. All of that's super important.
Yeah, it sounds like in the spirit of collaboration, you've been able to, like you said, rob and duplicate, or kind of build your best dairy that you can just from the help of your peers who kind of have welcomed you onto their place. And I think that's makes a lot of sense, especially when you consider the fact that we're really all in the same boat here when it comes to production agriculture. There's really no reason to compete when it has to do with cow's health or some of that management that really is going to make us the most efficient and make our cattle the most comfortable and those components. So I think that's an interesting perspective that you have and a cool approach that you and your family took as you were building Quail Ridge. So pretty neat to think about from that standpoint. So another question I want to ask, the difference in location that you have for those two types of facilities really does help benefit from a biosecurity standpoint. And correct me if I'm wrong, but when you have those animals that do get sick, as well as those other high-risk cattle or maternity cows that are about to calve, they're actually on a kind of a physically separate location. Is that right, Mary?
Yes, we have our smaller, older dairy. We consider that our special needs dairy. So when you have your calf, you're here, gives us a couple of weeks that we can kind of observe you, make sure that you're gaining weight back, that you're eating properly, that everything has cleaned out properly. Makes us have an opportunity to look at the babies and sort of work through them. Any cows that have lameness issues, pneumonia issues, things like that, because cows have the same problems humans do. We just run a hospital that happens to be outside in a corral. So, you know, we're constantly looking for ways that we can mitigate where you're passing anything. If you do have some viral something, that you're trying to keep that away from the other ones. Probably the best thing that we do for biosecurity is we do a lot of cleaning. And we get teased by many of our farmer friends because we're constantly out harrowing our pens. And we use our tractors up very quickly compared to guys that are row crop farmers and things like that, because we're constantly running them. So in the winter, you know, our tractors were getting hours on them, where a crop farmer, you know, the tractor would be sitting idle. And I think by cleaning and breaking up manure piles, and so the sun can sanitize it and we can kill the fly larva that way. Many of those things are ways that you slow down some of the transmissions of diseases, because flies are one of your number one vectors. And if you can take a fly out of the mix or reduce the population, all of those are super valuable. So having the two facilities, that's super important, cleaning the facilities and making sure that the cows are comfortable all the time. I think that's probably one of the number one jobs for me. If I were picking an Achilles heel that we have, is that we have multiple driveways into our facilities. And I would like to have fewer of those so that you can funnel people through. So if I were building a new facility like Quail Ridge, I would make you come through one choke point where I could close it off if that's what I needed to do. But more importantly, I'm interested in making sure that I'm stopping disease transmission between livestock.
Sure. And it sounds like it's interesting over this past year that we've had, this crazy year, how it's been easier for us in the livestock industry to talk about biosecurity when human health has been so dedicated to biosecurity. And so it's been an interesting year in that we've talked a lot about, on the BQA side of things, creating templates for our beef producers to have daily biosecurity plans that maybe they didn't have before. And it's easy to compare those things to some of the precautions that we take with COVID. We've also had a lot more discussions about things like our secure beef supply plan. I think you guys probably have something similar in the dairy industry, a secure dairy supply in case we have a foreign animal disease outbreak or something like that come in. But it sounds like you guys have biosecurity pretty well under control, and knowing where those risk points are, like you said, having too many access points, I think that helps you control those things a little bit better, just being aware of the fact that that might be your Achilles heel. So I think that's very useful when we start talking more and more about biosecurity. And so just really to transition, I always make this plug, everybody who's going to listen to this podcast will always hear the mission of the BQA program, but I think it's the same thing for the dairy industry ultimately, right? This program is really here to really try to maximize consumer confidence in beef. And so I'm sure that a lot of the things that you're doing is trying to maximize consumer confidence in dairy products and then also beef, really. And so I just wanted to ask you, Mary, what are some of the things that you are doing specifically that you feel like can help maximize the consumer's confidence in the product that you're creating? And it doesn't have to be a specific thing, but maybe just in general, broad things that your dairy does that really helps advance that mission of maximizing their confidence.
Well, I think one of them is belonging to the farm program, and there is somebody who is kind of looking under the sheets and saying, yeah, what she said that they do is what they do, because they can sort of look at lots of different measurables that they can look at. I think that one of the best things you can do is tell your story. Everyone should have a 2-minute elevator speech that when you run into whomever you run into, you have an opportunity to talk about the lengths at which we go to do a quality job for the lifestyle of the animal, that we're humane in the activities that we do, that we have invested in different systems, and across the country and across economic levels, we've got lots of different systems that are there. And I think with so many people being so many generations away from the farm, it is imperative that every opportunity you work something in that talks about the level of intent that you have to do an outstanding job with the livestock in your possession, with the resources that you've been dealt, and have that conversation. Just stimulating those people to think just a little bit more about your dedication when you're up in a blizzard and you're out calving cows, that's a level of dedication I think most people don't know even exists anymore. And I think it's important that we're constantly telling our story about the lengths that you're willing to go to make a quality product that feeds their family, nourishes their family, grows their family. And that is actually at the heart of what you're doing. You're not doing this so you can take advantage of a cow. You're actually interested in the human population and how do we feed the world and how do we maintain our world by being good stewards of the resources.
Absolutely. And I think we in agriculture, in food animal agriculture, need to find a way that we can be a little bit more proactive. It seems like a lot lately, we're seeing a lot of, coming together. And so we're being reactive. And I still think it's you know, taking a good step towards educating folks. But personally, I think we need to find a way to be a little bit more proactive and that we don't have to respond to some of these things. We're able to tell that story and hopefully get people on board so that we don't have to react to some of these issues in the future.
Yep.
So I want to ask you, Mary, what does it mean to you and Kraft Family Dairies to be recognized as a National BQA Award winner?
Well, what an honor, because there are so many people who are doing such a bang up good job. It's lovely to be recognized for having done a good job. What it means to me is that you can't rest on your laurels having achieved that particular thing. It means that you still have to keep your nose to the grindstone and make sure that you're doing that stewardship job every single day in all sorts of weather and under all sorts of conditions. I think it means that we were really super interested in making sure that the food that reaches the food chain is the quality that it should be, that I would expect for my family, and I expect nothing less for somebody else's family. And I think it's an honor to be in this industry and to be in agriculture.
So lastly, before we go, I'm curious if you had one piece of advice that you've learned from your time in the dairy industry, you know, owning and managing your dairy. If you have one piece of advice that you could share with our listeners out there, what would that be?
If you want to stay on the farm, you have to get off the farm. Find a peer group. And even if you have to make your own, find some guy who's better than you are and go hang out with them as much as you can and pick their brain. I think I can come up with some really interesting ideas, but I think the synergy that happens when you're with other people who are equally interested in good animal husbandry, that are equally interested in environmental stewardship, we can come up with some really cool methodologies. And I think it's easy to get isolated back on your own place and feeling overwhelmed by the literally crap that you have to deal with. And I think that it makes it where sometimes it's a little overwhelming. And if you find some other people who want to do what you're doing and you can collaborate on how you do a better job, I think that's the way to go. I personally do some channel changing. So I try and do something that's a little different than what I was doing on the dairy every single day. And I find that that's helpful, and that visiting other dairies oftentimes ends up being like that, where you're just changing the channel from your personal group of problems to you get to see somebody else's group of problems, and they don't seem quite as bad. My dad always said it was super important for you to travel and to see other places, because it made you completely bought into what you had by time you get back, because the other guy has problems too, but maybe between all of us, we can figure out how to solve them.
Sure. And that reminds me of the thought of, you're really not going to get anywhere if you're the smartest person in the room. So you want to make sure that you surround yourself with people that maybe know more than you, so that you can learn from them and improve from what they already know and what they've already experienced. So that makes a lot of sense to me. Well, Mary, thank you so much for joining us today. We're really proud to have a dairy like you in our backyard, and so glad that you're representing the National BQA Award Winners Group in the dairy category. We're so glad to have you join us.
Well, thanks. And thank you very much for the opportunity. We feel honored to be part of the beef food chain, and we appreciate everything that we can do to make the world a better place.
That's a wrap on this episode of the Colorado BQA Chat Podcast. Thank you to all the listeners who have tuned in and continue to support the BQA program in Colorado. Be sure to tune in next time as we continue to interview other national BQA award winners and nominees from Colorado. We'd like to thank the Colorado Beef Council and Colorado State University's Department of Animal Sciences for sponsoring the Colorado BQA Chat Podcast in Colorado's BQA program. Beef Quality Assurance is a nationally coordinated, state-implemented producer education and certification program that works to build consumer confidence in beef by focusing the producer's attention to daily production practices that influence the safety, wholesomeness, and quality of beef and beef products. Remember, you can earn your BQA certification for free at any time at www.bqa.org. For in-person certifications, please contact me at the Colorado BQA office, 970-491-BEEF. Thank you, and we look forward to having you join us next time.